Hello, everyone. Hi, everyone. It's wow. It's been an awesome trip so far. I only have 2 days left, so I guess really it's only a day and a half left. But it's been really wild to come up here. I haven't been up here by myself since, I guess, 2012. So it's been a while. I don't really like to travel by myself because I find that lots of really random people always, like, I attract really random people. And traveling by myself is not fun, but everybody in the church at home was praying for me for that. And I had some really great experiences traveling, so that was good. Usually my plane gets delayed and I have to stay overnight in some hotel and then I meet people and it's just, you know, the story of my life. But God is good and has been protecting me on this trip. So I am here today to send you lots of warm hugs and greetings from the church, The Way, El Camino, in San Juan de Abajo. Everybody is doing well. Most of them are doing well, and I'll get into that, but Pancho definitely sends his love and his greetings. He couldn't come because obviously God had a different plan for us in this moment of our lives, but he also had trouble getting his passport renewed, and so he ended up getting it back like 4 or 5 days before I came. So that's why he is not here on this trip. But he has been doing the Papa Pancho work at home. And I think God has really been opening up his heart and stretching him why I've been here. So we're just so grateful for each and every one of you guys. And I stand up here today just to share our true gratitude with everybody. And through this last couple of years, I know it's been difficult for everybody and just such a whirlwind of events and things that have been happening. And I know that God has been, I think, challenging all of us, you know, throughout this time. And so I'm just so grateful for all of you, truly. And so is Pancho. And so we just wanted to extend that thank you to each of you for your prayers, for your support, and for everything that we've been going through. So I would just love to pray before we start. Dear Jesus, I am so thankful for your blood and for that power and that awesome word and declaration that of faith that has been spoken over each and every one of us, and that powerful word and declaration that we are speaking over our own lives and our families and our generations. And so I'm just so grateful, Holy Spirit. I just ask that you would come and that you would lift us up even more, that faith would arise even more in our hearts today, and that you would just continue the awesome work that you have been faithfully doing in each and every one of us, and that you would just be glorified today, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So I wanted to give a little update to start, and I have a few pictures to show. And so the first thing that I want to share is that this year, right when COVID hit, we decided to rent a new building that we didn't use for about a month, but that was a lot bigger. It actually has like an open balcony. And so that was really cool because we were able to like go back to having church really quickly. Like we only didn't have church for, I think, like 4 weeks or something. It wasn't that long because it was just like this big open space up there and there weren't a lot of us. And so that was just such a blessing from the Lord. It was more money we had to pay for the rent, and so everybody was a little like, can we really do this or can we not? And praise the Lord, we just like been, God has just been blessing and blessing and blessing us. So here are some pictures of what some of the activities we've been doing. And so some of them, this is the kids club. We started out the year with just a few kids, and then we got a lot more as the year went on. The kids club that we have been doing is basically focused on art, and it's art, visual art, painting, ceramics, all that kind of stuff isn't a huge part of Mexican education, and especially since they haven't gone back to school for a year and a half. So the kids just such a draw. They absolutely love it. We like paint with them and teach them things. So it's just been awesome. This is the last, the other one with the feet was the last project that we did with the kids. And so we walked through a little bit of a study with them about the purpose-driven life. So talking about how God created them and they're special. And so it was about 3 months, maybe, I think about 3 months that we talked to them about Jesus, but the focus wasn't exactly on Jesus. It was more on like that they were a creation, that they had a purpose, that they were special, that they each had gifts and talents. And so our focus was really on like art and creativity and things like that. And then in December, we taught them about the Christmas story. So that introduced Jesus, obviously, to them. We did a Christmas pageant. And then in January, we really felt to start giving them the salvation message. And it was in January that we started teaching them, okay, who is Jesus? And really giving them the salvation message. And the day that they all prayed the sinner's prayer was like, there was such a drastic change in the atmosphere ever since then of the kids club. That it was like something I had never experienced before, and it was so incredible to me. And the kids since then, none of them are like church kids. Like, they're all just from the neighborhood. Only like two of them actually come to church. And so it was just incredible. And like the one boy was like, can you teach me how to pray? I want to learn how to pray. And I'm like, okay, let's go, you know. And these kids just love to pray. And it's just so incredible to me to see how God has really been changing their character and their behavior and how they want to be there. And we've been having a little bit of a difficult time in our church services because, which I'll get into in a little bit, but most people don't show up until an hour, like after church starts. And the kids show up an hour before kids club. And they're there like an hour before, and there's one, there are two kids that are my husband's like great niece and nephew. And their dad will bring them, and they showed up a half an hour early, which in Mexico is like, no, you don't show up early. Like, showing up early is the worst thing in the world. It's, like, embarrassing, and if somebody shows up, they're like, I'm out of here. This is, like, the worst thing in the world. So he shows up a half an hour early with these kids, and he gives me this, like, sheepish look, and it's like, I'm really sorry we're early, but they've been, like, waking, like, since 9 o'clock this morning. Are we ready to go? Are you ready to go, Dad? Are you going to bring us? Starts at 11. And so he's like, you know, at that point, oh, let's just go. So it's been really incredible to see the kids and how God is just really moving in them. And it's like my favorite activity. We don't do it every Saturday. We do it like every other Saturday. And I have a group of youth from the church of girls. There's about 4 or 5 of us that are like the team, and they're just awesome, and they've really enjoyed also like serving and becoming part of a team like that. One of the girls lives in this, like the church is right in the center square, and so we do it at the church, the kids club, and she lives like in the same center square but around the corner, and most of the kids are from that area, and so she gets home from work at like 11 at night, and the kids are like, my, you know, which is teacher, and like, where were you? And she's like, I was at work. You got home late tonight. And, you know, she's like, oh, they're like watching my every move, you know. And so it's been really good for her to see like that her whole life is being watched, and she, you know, needs to be a testimony, you know, to these kids. And so it's been a really, really awesome process. with the kids club, and the kids were pretty sad that we, you know, closed it off for the summer, but we are going to do, I think, a vacation Bible school in August, so you can keep praying for that. And then another thing that has been happening in our community is that there is a lot of drug addiction, a lot of it. And I don't know if it's more now because of COVID and stuff, but it's definitely a huge problem. I would say every family probably has, if not two or more, drug addicts in their family some way, shape, or form. In my husband's family, there are definitely at least two. And in every family, it's like, oh yeah, my grandson or my son is struggling with this. And so it's been really interesting to see how the community in San Juan is beginning to realize that we are like an answer to that. And one of the reasons is because on the national trip, we went and stayed for 3 days in a rescue house, they call it, where they have like 800 people that live there. And we stayed there for 3 days. And so we got to meet the ministry, see how they were. And I was really impressed by this ministry because the pastor that like runs the whole thing lives like right there with his family. And his girls like grew up there in middle of, you know, 500 to 800 drug addicts. Like that's where they grew up. That's their home. And I was really impressed by it. And so anyways, people started calling us little by little and saying, hey, do you know of any centers or any drug rehab centers? And Punch would say, well, we stayed at this one place and it was really great. It's actually free. You just have to like provide them with some toiletries and different things that they need. And so one of his cousin's sons went there, and he had a really great experience. He came back, struggled a little bit, but decided to go back. So he went back. And then when he went back, he brought a girl with him who was only 13 and had been on drugs for a few years. And she goes back to this place, stays for a few months, comes back, and the whole town is like, what happened to this girl? Like, she's, like, normal again. She's, like, fine. She started working at Armando's coffee shop. And the town was like, this girl is not, like, not healthy. Like, she steals things. She lies. She's a drug addict. And she was 13 years old. And, like, we're like, well, she's working here, you know. And she'd come in, and she's, like, mopping, and she's cleaning. And everybody's like, what's up with this girl, you know. So from that, she was in the family with this other family. The lady in this family is a teacher at the middle school. And so she has her husband who's a drug addict. And they're separated. They have two kids. And she comes to the coffee shop and says, I know that there's help here. Like how I need help from my husband. He's a mess. And so Armando called us down. She came back with her husband, and Pancho and I showed up, and Pancho just starts talking to this guy, and he's just, like, floored. He's completely a nervous wreck. He's on nervous wreck meds, plus he's a drug addict. He's got all these problems, and we, like, talked to him, and then we never heard anything back. And we were like, well, I guess, oh, too bad, you know, he didn't call us back again or whatever. And then, like, a week later, we find out from the other guy that's there, he says to his mom, hey, there's this guy named Christian here from San Juan. And so his mom calls us and says, hey, there's a guy whose name is Christian from San Juan. And we were like, what? He left the very next day and went to this place. And so he comes back 4 months later, like, on fire for the Lord. His family were very strict Catholics, and they were not quite sure what had just hit them. And so that was a little difficult for a little while, but his wife started to come, and his kids did too. And they all just, like, jumped in. And so it's been a really awesome family. A few months after he got back, his wife is older than I am, I believe. She's like my sister's age. And a few months after he had been back, you know, they get word that she's pregnant again. And so now they have this little baby who's like their first baby born into the gospel, you know, into this family. And so that testimony in our town, because he was a really part of both of them are like part of really well-known families in our town. And so that's been a huge deal. And then he has been bringing in these other guys, and he has been helping this one guy whose name is Ricardo. And this guy is really well known in the town. And he was a drug addict and an alcoholic, and he didn't go anywhere. He just started going to church and like gave his life to Jesus, and he's just like a completely different person. And so all these people are like, what's going on, you know? And so the ministry, Cristo Vive, which is the ministry that's in Saltillo, which Saltillo is about 18 hours from where we are, so they have to travel to go there. They're thinking about starting an extension center in San Juan. So that's I'm not exactly sure how it's going to go. But you know, we all, you know, just little differences, but what they do and the ministry that they extend to these guys and girls, they have both women and men, is really, really incredible. So that's been really interesting. It's been interesting because sometimes these people will like come and then they get a little bit better and they're doing better. And then like they finally get a job. And working in Mexico, especially where we live, because it's so touristic, most people work in the hotels. And hotels enslave you. And you don't have anything. You can't decide when you want to work or how you want to work. And so coming to church is very difficult for people that work in hotels. And so that is what happens in our church a lot. Like some people will only be able to come twice a month, or sometimes even once a month or once every 2 months. And so the church attendance is definitely been a struggle for us. I don't know if it has to do with COVID, because it definitely like started to happen after COVID hit and stuff. But it's definitely been a struggle. And so that's been really awesome. And Pancho and Christian have been working with these guys to really help them, you know, really dig in their roots. So you can keep praying for that. That's definitely, we need lots of prayer for that. And the last part that there is like a big group picture of with adults and kids. I don't know if we can put that one up. Maybe you already saw it a bunch of times. Sorry. Oh, okay. So maybe it's that one. That's okay. Anyways, there is a new YWAM base about a half an hour from us, and they are from the YWAM base in Montana, and they came down to start a new YWAM base in Nuevo Vallarta, which is a half an hour from us. I'm actually teaching them Spanish because they are Americans, and they've become our really good friends. Their names are Carrie and Ryan Ast. And they have a son who is exactly the same age and the same birthday as Anna. And so there's this funny Carrie and Ryan connection over here. But anyways, they've become like family. And then there's another girl who's been working with them whose name is Jay. And she is from New York and is relatively my age. And so that's always funny because we, like, introduce ourselves, you know, down in Mexico. Oh, what's your name? I'm Joy. And what's your name? Jay. Where are you from? New York. You know, it's like this funny introduction. But they have been serving. They don't actually do, like, the DTSs, but they receive outreach teams from the DTSs from YWAM. And so then they go and they just, like, serve all the churches. So they really bring a support to all the churches. So we've been doing outreaches with them, and then they come in and they've helped us with the kids club. They've also done youth events with the youth in the area. And so I just think it's been a really important connection, and they've really become kind of like family to us. And so this was the last team that came. So they were a really fun team. And so those are kind of like the updates, the things that are going on. When I get back, there's going to be a worship YWAM team there. And worship is something that I wanted to share as a prayer request, because it's something very like heavy on my heart for Mexico. Because years ago, especially around the national trip time when we went on that big trip, worship was just like blooming and booming. And there were so many worship leaders writing songs and, you know, just Spanish songs. And we were worshiping for hours, and the church just loved to worship and all this stuff. And all of a sudden, you know, people are like showing up into like skipping worship, and they only show up for the message. And we're like, what's up with that? You know, like, especially because I'm a very passionate worshiper. Pancho is too, and so is Armando, and so is his family, and so is one other lady. And like that group of people, we are just like worshiping passionately, and yet everybody else is like, oh, this isn't really important. And they've really like taken it as like their idea. It's like, oh, this isn't really important. And we like preach on it, and we're like worshiping, and we're like, we changed our Wednesday nights to a worship service, and now nobody comes. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, I just, it's, but then I'm looking at, like, you know, the big picture, and all of these incredible worship leaders from in Latin, you know, in the Latin American music aren't writing songs. And they're pairing up and doing everything with American worship leaders. There's this one worship leader, her name is Christine DeClario, and she has now done stuff with Maverick City Music, with Danny Gokey, and they're pairing up in the, with Phil Wickham, and they're only singing American worship songs. And it's just wild. Like, I don't know. It's just interesting to me, and I think that there is a revival happening here in worship. And so I'm saying all this, you know, to encourage you guys, obviously. And to keep praying for us, because there is just a desert in worship in Mexico. And you go, my mom said it, like, they go to the other church, you know, with the guys, you know, Ricky and Danny and in La Puerta de la Lima, and they're singing the same songs from, like, 5 or 6 years ago. And there's no newness in worship that's come from the Latin American culture and community. All the new songs we sing are translated, all of them. And that's awesome, but I'm like, okay, we gotta, you know, so I'm just really praying for that, because I'm frustrated, like in our own congregation, it's definitely opening my heart, it's definitely a frustration, you know, because I'm like, I gotta worship, you know, but I just see it as something like just like a desert, you know, Mexico. I really do feel like it's something on a bigger scale. And so these are my updates, so you guys can help us pray for that. And when you come to worship, and you know, I know you're all older, and yeah, what? And, you know, and it's just incredible. Like, I just was like, I just want to worship. I just want to enjoy it with you guys, because I know that you all love to worship the Lord, and you can feel it and you can hear it, and it's just incredible. And I know that God wants to do that in Mexico. And so that is my declaration and my prayer request. And so, anyways, it's been interesting in the church, because I think I was talking with the elders on Tuesday, and one of them, sorry, I don't remember, mentioned about a reset. You know, like this time has been kind of like a reset. And Armando, who is working with us, he just got married in January, and so he's, you know, growing up and definitely part of our leadership team. And he keeps saying to me, are you ready for God to start over here? And I'm like, are you ready for these people to all leave and for God to start over? And I'm like, no. I'm not ready for that. Like, that's not, no, we got to work on these people and God's going to, you know, like, and it's just interesting because it does kind of feel like God is wanting to reset things, you know, and I don't know if that means with different people. I hope it doesn't. I am praying that God will reset all of our hearts and all of our lives and that we will grow, keep growing together as a congregation. So, anyways, I wanted to share a little bit about my personal journey in this last year and these last months. So I'm sorry if I get a little emotional. I'm not really good at crying and getting emotional. It's not my favorite thing to do. So I'm sorry if I do get a little emotional. But you know, many of you know that Punch and I were, you know, were trying to have kids and we weren't able to have kids and I had a problem with these fibroid tumors. And I thought, you know, God had spoken definitely lots of things to me even before we got married, while we were married, even, you know, within these last few years. And so, you know, it's like, how do you hang on to the promises of God when everything you're looking at doesn't have anything to do with that? You know, it's like all the opposite, and you're like, I'm hanging on to something here, you know? And so it's been a journey throughout this last year, and we finally came to the point where, like, I couldn't really even, like, stand up. I couldn't play the piano standing up, which I always do, and I was, like, really in a lot of pain, and I couldn't live my life anymore, you know, the way I was living it. And so we came to this decision, you know, to have this surgery, and we're all very, very grateful for all of your love and support and prayers. It went really well, and I've just, like, about a month after, I was just like, wow, like, this is what life feels like. This is what a body should feel like. You know, like, I just want to run. And, you know, like, and so it's been really wonderful to feel good again, you know, to feel healthy. And it's such a blessing, you know, to be able to, like, do the kids club and run around and have them, like, you know, just feel like you can really invest in their lives. Because before it was always like, I'm half investing in you and I'm half hanging on, you know. Like, so it's really been incredible, that. And but something happened after the surgery where, like, finally I was feeling better, and then it was like this sweep of all the emotions, and I thought to myself, what did I do? You know, what just happened to me? And so it's definitely been a journey for that reason. But I wanted to share something that God did in me and in my heart, and I hope it will bless all of you and we can all learn from it. So shortly after my surgery, a number of people in our congregation and also some of my friends started calling me, and so many people were having mental and emotional breakdowns, to the point where some of them were suicidal. One person came to live with us for about a month and a half because of these same problems. And so Pancho and I began to really, like, invest in these people and try to help them through this moment in their life, which was very difficult for them. And on top of that, there were a couple things that happened at church. One of them involving Armando, and so he basically stepped down from all, like, leadership activity. And so I'm, like, finally feeling better, and now it's like, whoo, jumping back in, you know? And so that was really interesting, but then it was like all of a sudden I just started, like, worrying. And I was like, wow, this person, and oh my goodness, and then they're going through this, and, like, oh, my girl, and she's, like, suicidal. What am I going to do? And what if she kills herself? You know, and I'm, like, real, like, all of these, like, intense worries. But it got to the point where, like, I would wake up in the morning and my first thought was, like, oh, no, she's going to get mad at me because I have to, like, go bring her to this place and I forgot. And then I was, like, wait, I didn't forget. What? I don't have anything to do today. It was, like, all of these worries, and some of them were irrational is what I'm getting at. You know, some of them weren't real things, and some of them were very real things. And I realized that it's something that I've struggled with for many, many years, where, like, I play conversations in my head with people. I don't know if you do that. Or, like, you know, something didn't quite work out with somebody or you, and then you go home and you're like, oh, that person, like, said that to me, and then why did I say that, and then I should have said that, and then I did this, and I just need to talk to them. I need to tell them that it's like this, you know? And, like, you have these, like, conversations in your head. Well, this was happening to me all the time. And I remember one time I was sitting there, and I don't know how long I had just been, like, staring into space, and I was having probably a two-hour-long conversation in my head about something, and Pancho was just sitting there, and I looked over at him, and I was like, can we please change the conversation? And he just, like, looked at me with this face, like, we're not even talking. And I realized that, like, I had been, like, talking to him in my head and, like, completely fretting over tons of things for hours and hours and hours. And I realized that this hadn't really just been hours and hours, but it had been months and months and years and years. And I was like, wow, this is like unbearable. Like, it got to this point of feeling unbearable. And, you know, I mean, we don't have kids of our own, but I think that some of it does stem out of, like, that parent's heart of like really wanting your children to, like, grow up and do things right, or your nieces and nephews, or, like, I talked to my sister and I'd be like, oh no, and then I'd, you know, envision lots of conversations with people in her family, you know, and, like, no, I gotta, you know. And so it's like these worries were just completely overtaking me, to the point where I would go to church on Sunday and, you know, it was like I all of a sudden couldn't hear the Lord. And I had no idea what he wanted to say to the church. And I had no idea where he was going. And I had no prophetic direction, which, you know, I tend to be on the prophetic end of things. And I had no idea what was going on. And all I saw was everybody's problems. And it was like number of months and months like that. And then Pancho and I would get home and we'd be like, man, that was the pits. And, you know, like, this happened and this person's this. And look, did you see all the people that showed up an hour late? And, you know, it was like together, you know, although he's better at saying, you just gotta let it go. You just gotta let it go. And, you know, like, God's good. And he's like, you know, he's helping me along. And I'm like, yeah, I'm trying to let it go. And I just can't let it go. You know, it's like, I'm trying here. And so one day, I was at my end, and I was laying on my bed, which is kind of where I like to pray a lot, and in my nap time during the day. And I finally just, like, gave it up, and I was like, "I'm over this," you know. And but what happened is I read this story, which I would like to read. It's in Nehemiah. I don't know if we put things up here or if we read in our Bibles, but in Nehemiah, I started reading this story. So I'd like to read the story, and then I'll get to the end of my story. And so Nehemiah 8, I'll read it here. It says, all the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the laws of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon, and he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra, the teacher of the law, stood on the high wooden platform built for the occasion. Beside him on his right stood, and we have a list of names. I'm going to skip over that. It says, Ezra opened the book, all the people who could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, amen, amen. Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And then it says, they read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so the people understood what was being read. Then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest, and the teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. And I was really struck by this story because I was in this place of weeping. Like, I just was done. And I was like, I can't live like this anymore. You know, like, no one's getting better. I'm not getting better. And nobody else is getting better. And, you know, it's just like this moment of surrender. And, you know, today we're talking about that word surrender. And so in my journey, I found that I was in this moment of surrender. Like, I'm done. I'm just surrendering my life to you, God. And then it says, Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some of those who have nothing prepared. Send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our God. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And in that moment, I'm reading this story. I was reading another story also, which I don't even remember what story it was. And all of a sudden, the words, do not worry, you know, do not fret, do not worry, came into my mind. Right along the words with do not murder, do not lie, do not commit adultery, do not. And I thought, I'm sinning. And it just completely changed my mindset. Because I'm like walking through life thinking, okay, you know, like obviously I'm a sinner and I like, you know, ask God to forgive me on a daily basis. You know, and I'm like giving him over these things. But I really struggled with this for a long time, but never recognized it in my life as sin, this obsessive fretting. And so I gave it over, I surrendered, and then repented. And the next day, I woke up, and the first thought in my mind was, wow, what a great day, I get to go to kids club. And I was like, whoa, what happened? And I realized that out of this repentance came this joy. And I love that Nehemiah says to them, okay, you're mourning, you're crying, you're upset because you're hearing the law and you're realizing that you haven't lived that way for your whole entire life because they've been living in Babylon. They come back to hear the law for the first time and they repent and they're crying and they're upset. And Nehemiah stands up and says, today is a holy day. Be joyful. And I was like, oh, whoa, you know, and it was like, this joy just birthed in me, just came out. It just, and since that day, like, honestly, I've been going through other, you know, emotional things, but that worry just like completely went away. And every time it's like something little happens again, and I'm like a little tempted to be like, you know, it's like so easy now for me to just say, no, I don't want to worry. God, you got it. And I can let it go because he freed me from a sin that was so entangling me that I never really recognized it as that. It was just like a struggle. Oh, I struggle with this, you know. We like our processes in the Christian faith, which, you know, there are some. But, you know, it's like God also just kind of wants to free us, you know. Like, hey, I sent my son and, you know, the blood of Christ and, like, you can be free. And I really appreciated that word that our brother shared at the end about the little things. Because it's true, you know, it's like you walk through life and things become hard and there are lots of struggles and lots of obstacles and lots of pain and lots of disappointments. And it's like you start adding these little things, you know, that just start to separate you from God. And I just realized that, like, my vision had been completely closed to what God wanted to do, what he was doing in our midst. And I couldn't see it anymore because of this sin that was in my life and this worry. And it makes me think about the story in Numbers, which I'm sure, you know, a lot of you know the story. I won't read it. But, you know, you have Balaam, right? The prophet Balaam, is that how you say it? And he is going somewhere where he shouldn't, and he's on the road, and he starts getting angry. And he's getting angry because his donkey won't go anymore, you know. He's like, and it says that he kind of like fell against a wall and crushed Balaam's foot, And Balaam's like, go, 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 you know. And he's trying to get him to move forward. And he's just completely blind. He's a prophet. Like a prophet that's like seeing and hearing from God all the time to speak words to people. Like he's God's voice in the Old Testament, you know. And he's sharing all these things. And he can't see what's going on. Because he's going in the wrong direction. He's going to the wrong place, you know. And he also has his heart attitude, you know, is not right. And he starts mistreating his donkey. And then the donkey turns around and speaks to him. And he still answers him. And I'm like, how can you, like, I would have been like, oh, you know, something's going on here. My donkey is talking to him. But he's still like, he even answers him and like says, well, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, wow, that's quite the answer, you know. But I just, you know, it's so easy for our vision to be, you know, like cluttered or to, you know, we can't see. And God wants to use us all prophetically. He wants to speak to all of our hearts. He wants us all to know what he wants to do in our midst and in our families and in the congregation. And so it is the little things that become really big things, that can really begin to hold us back. One of the last messages that was shared before I came was about a hardened heart. And I see people hardening their hearts where we are, really hardening their hearts. Like, this didn't work out the way I wanted to. I'm done. You know, or I'm angry and I'm going to stay that way. Or, you know, I'm in just like, wow, or worship isn't important. And it's like, well, what are you going to do in heaven? You know, you know, and it's like this hardening of their hearts. And I see that happening. And I think it happens over time when we're not daily surrendering all of those little things. So I appreciated that. Thank you for sharing that. And so I just really wanted to share that testimony with you guys. It's really like a big thing that God did in my life over the last few months. And I know that God has also been working in Pancho. And so I think it's been a few months of a time of like, I'm ready to like, you know, work on you guys and get you better, you know, set up to keep going. Sometimes we get really discouraged, but I just see that God is really moving, you know, in people's hearts and in being here and being like with my extended family and my cousins and hearing these questions that they're asking and seeing this hunger in them. I'm like, oh, wow, this place and this country is on the verge of experiencing a real revival. And I can feel it when I'm here, and I feel like I came from the desert to, like, this moment of, like, something here is going to happen, I think, maybe before something there happens. But, you know, we're praying to be faithful. And I think that that's what God has really been showing me and showing us is that faithfulness in the desert place. And I just really, really important. And so whether you're a grandparent and you have one grandchild or a lot of them, whether you're a divorced person, whether you've been married for 50 years, whether you've never been married and or you have nieces and nephews, you know, whether you're single or, you know, you're together with someone, every person that is involved in your life is a person that is watching your faithfulness to the Lord in the desert places. And I just want to encourage you in that. And, you know, Paul said, Timothy is my son. And we've really been on this journey of, like, what does it mean to make disciples and what does it mean to be a father and a mother, you know, without biological children to a hurting world, an orphan world. I mean, there's just so many orphans, spiritually speaking and emotionally speaking, you know. And it's just so incredible to be able to, like, live your life and give that testimony to the people around you because they're watching us in these horrible situations, and they watch how we walk through them, and they watch our faith in God, and that faith in the desert place is the testimony that I know you all have with the people in your lives, and it's just a beautiful testimony to me as well to come back every time and see you all here and know that God is just doing awesome things in your lives and in your family and in your neighbors and in the people at your workplace, and knowing that you're just constantly extending the gospel is such a testimony to me. And so my sister and I want to sing a song, and I have a little presentation of pictures and a video that we're going to do. And I don't have the words because you're going to, you know, watch the pictures go by up here. But I just really wanted to encourage you that wherever you're at in life, all of the people around you in your life, you are being a beautiful testimony to them.